All right, let's talk about the 1848 presidential election, because it's a perfect example of how the politics of the time were completely fractured, with the major parties doing everything they could to avoid confronting the elephant in the room, slavery. This was the first election to feature the Free Soil Party, which really shook things up, and it's a critical moment for understanding the growing divisions in the country that would eventually explode into the Civil War. So let's break it down. 1848 was a landslide. First, we've got Lewis Cass, the Democratic candidate. Cass was an old-school politician with a resume full of government experience, and he was all about popular sovereignty. Now, this is one of those ideas that sounds reasonable on the surface. Let the territories decide for themselves whether they want slavery. But in reality, it was just a way for Democrats to kick the can down the road. Cass's stance was designed to appeal to both sides, but of course, it ended up satisfying no one. The South wasn't thrilled because it didn't guarantee the expansion of slavery, and the North saw it as morally bankrupt and politically weak. So, right out of the gate, the Democrats were offering a candidate who was trying to have it both ways on the biggest issue of the time. Then we have Zachary Taylor, the Whig candidate. Taylor is an interesting one because he's essentially the 19th century version of a celebrity candidate. He was a war hero from the Mexican-American War, and the Whigs ran him without much regard for his actual politics. In fact, Taylor didn't even have a clear stance on slavery. He was deliberately vague. The Whig strategy was basically, hey, here's a famous guy you can vote for. Don't ask too many questions about what he stands for. And honestly, it worked. But it's also a textbook example of how the Whigs were avoiding the issue entirely, which ultimately contributed to their collapse as a political party. And then there's Martin Van Buren, running for the Free Soil Party. Now, the Free Soil Party is really important in this election, not because they were going to win, but because they introduced a third-party challenge to the two major parties. Their whole platform was about stopping the expansion of slavery into the new territories acquired after the Mexican-American War. Their slogan was Free Soil, Free Speech, Free Labor, and Free Men, which resonated with a growing number of Northerners who were opposed to the spread of slavery, even if they weren't outright abolitionists. Van Buren's candidacy was about sending a message. The old two-party system wasn't addressing the country's biggest moral and economic issue, and the Free Soilers were there to fill that gap. Now, let's talk about the electorate. This is 1848, so we're still talking about a very limited group of voters, white male property owners in most states. But within that group, the divisions were stark. The country was expanding rapidly after the Mexican-American War, and the big question was, are these new territories going to be free or slave? This wasn't just an abstract debate. It was about the future of the country's economy, its moral identity, and frankly, its political survival. The Wilmot Proviso, which would have banned slavery in the new territories, had failed in Congress, but it lit a fire under the slavery debate and made this election a referendum on the issue, even if the candidates tried to avoid it. So what happened? Zachary Taylor won the presidency with 163 electoral votes to Cass's 127. On the surface, it doesn't look like a blowout, but when you dig into the details, Taylor's win was significant. He carried key states like Pennsylvania and New York, which were critical to his victory. And here's where the Free Soil Party played a huge role. By siphoning votes away from the Democrats in places like New York, they essentially handed the state and the election to Taylor. This is a classic case of a third party acting as a spoiler, even though they didn't win any electoral votes themselves. The Free Soilers got about 10% of the popular vote, which is a big deal for a new party. It showed that a significant number of voters, especially in the North, were ready to make slavery the defining issue in national politics. And while the Free Soil Party didn't have staying power, they laid the groundwork for the rise of the Republican Party a decade later. Now, let's not kid ourselves about what this election says about the Whigs and Democrats. The Whigs won with Taylor, but it was a hollow victory. They ran a candidate who avoided taking any clear positions, especially on slavery, and that strategy wasn't sustainable. The Whigs were already a party in decline, and their refusal to address the central issue of the time, slavery, would eventually lead to their collapse. For the Democrats, Cass's loss was a sign that their coalition of Southern slaveholders and Northern workers was starting to crack. They were trying to straddle the line on slavery, but the country was becoming too divided for that to work. And let's not forget the broader context here. The country was at a crossroads. The Mexican-American War had added a massive amount of territory to the U.S., and the question of whether those territories would allow slavery was tearing the nation apart. The economy was changing, with industrialization taking off in the North while the South remained reliant on its plantation system. Social movements like abolitionism were gaining traction, even if they weren't mainstream yet. All of this was bubbling under the surface in 1848, and the election was just a snapshot of the tensions that would eventually boil over. So was this a landslide? Not in the traditional sense of an overwhelming electoral victory. But in terms of significance, it was huge. Taylor's win and the emergence of the Free Soil Party highlighted the growing cracks in the political system and the country itself. The major parties were avoiding the slavery issue, but the voters, and the events of the time, were forcing it to the forefront. This election was a preview of the political realignment and the eventual conflict that would define the next two decades. In short, 1848 was less about who won and more about what it revealed. A nation deeply divided, a political system unable to cope with its biggest challenge, and a growing movement that would eventually reshape American politics. If you're looking for an election that shows how the country was on the path to civil war, this is it.